Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Gwich'in Nation has reaffirmed a call for protection of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. According to a release from the Gwich'in Steering Committee, delegates from Alaska and Canada attending a biennial gathering in the Northwest Territories this week reaffirmed a resolution calling on the U.S. government to permanently protect the refuge, which includes the calving grounds of the porcupine caribou herd. The Gwich'in Nation first unified around the resolution in 1988. A Republican tax bill passed last December authorized oil development in a portion of the refuge's coastal plain. A small plane missing in the interior since Sunday has been found, and the pilot and passenger, a couple from Salcha, have been confirmed dead. Alaska State Troopers report that Art and Ann Ward were found dead in the wreckage of their plane yesterday afternoon at an unspecified crash site. The Wards had been missing since Sunday when they failed to show up at their McCarthy area homestead after flying out of Salcha in their Super Cub earlier in the day. An extensive search for the plane was conducted by the Alaska Air National Guard, National Park Service, Civil Air Patrol, and volunteer pilots. Troopers plan to go to the crash site today. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating. One of the U.S. Supreme Court's decisions released yesterday dealt a blow to public sector unions. As KTOO's Jacob Resnick reports, the ruling is significant in Alaska, which has one of the highest rates of unionization in the country.
The court ruled 5-4 that employees of state and local governments who opt out of union membership won't have to pay any dues. It was the result of a challenge by a guy named Mark Janis, a state employee in Illinois who argued he shouldn't have to contribute to a union he didn't agree with. To force him otherwise, he argued, violated his First Amendment rights.
It's a great day for Alaska and a great day for public employees.
Jeremy Price is director of the Alaska chapter of Americans for Prosperity, an activist group founded and funded by the conservative billionaire Koch brothers.
Starting today, going forward, government workers are no longer forced to pay for collective bargaining and political activity as a condition of their employment.
The ruling affects state and local government workers covered by collective bargaining agreements. That's about 10% of Alaska's workforce. Before the ruling, many state and local workers had union contributions automatically deducted from their paychecks. Not anymore. Now they won't have to pay anything, but they'll still have the same rights and benefits of those who do.
It's like asking a car insurance company to pay for your damages while you're not paying premiums.
Abel Bolito heads the union that represents about 1,200 faculty within the University of Alaska system. About 20% of eligible faculty aren't union members. After today, they won't contribute to the union's finances. But he says his union will step up its game to respond to the Supreme Court ruling.
The union leadership will no longer take membership for granted.
The state's largest public sector union, ASEA, had been bracing for this change for about 2 years, said Executive Director Jake Metcalf.
I don't buy that it's doom and gloom. In fact, I say bring it on.
He said the union has been making its case directly to state workers that it's in their best interest to join the union.
They're not going to be better off by opting out. In fact, they're going to, you know, lose out on their ability to participate in that negotiation process and have their opinion be heard.
On the political side, Governor Bill Walker released a statement hours after the ruling expressing his disappointment with the conservative majority's decision. But he said he's confident that public employee unions will remain the backbone of Alaska. In Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly considered as an ordinance tonight that would put a $66 million bond package before voters in October. The package proposed by Mayor Carl Castle would fund building maintenance and upgrades at local schools, the Carlson Center, and the Juanita Helms Administration Center, as well as replacement of the borough animal shelter. If approved, the package would add $60 to taxes for each $100,000 of property value. Other ordinances being considered at tonight's meeting would ask voters about allowing taxes above the borough tax cap to fund maintenance, including repairs at the Mary Sia Recreation Center. Two zoning ordinances also go before the Assembly tonight. One of the measures would allow agriculture in more areas of the borough. Borough Mayor Assistant Brittany Smart highlighted the urban agriculture ordinance in comments to the Fairbanks City Council Monday.
There are restrictions in it, yes, because it is in, well, more urban areas. And we do want to make sure that certain protections are in place.
Smart says the ordinance reflects results of a Community Planning Department public survey.
It has been the most responded to public survey that community planning has ever had. And with that feedback, I think they've developed a very fair ordinance.
Another zoning ordinance on tonight's assembly agenda would allow brew pubs and microbreweries to be permitted in the borough. Breweries which produce larger volumes of beer are already a defined use in the borough. Challenges and opportunities presented by the stationing of F-35 fighters at Eielson Air Force Base are detailed in a draft report commissioned by the Fairbanks North Star Borough. The Department of Defense-funded Eielson Regional Growth Plan considers the effects of over 3,000 people and more than $500 million that F-35 basing is bringing to the borough. Speaking to the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce Tuesday, plan contractor Shelley Wade characterized the effort.
It has been a year of a lot of listening and really strategizing and thinking with all of you as community members and with military families directly about what recommendations will not only benefit those incoming families, but also all of you that have lived here for decades that see this as an opportunity to improve the quality of life in your community.
Wade shared high-level findings from the 450-page document, which focuses on response recommendations to a range of issues from public safety and infrastructure to housing. She says a substantial number of F-35 personnel will live at Eielson, but many other military and civilian workers and their families will reside off base.
A need of 974 housing units.
That means new construction in the North Pole area, which Wade says is underway.
Single family homes, some duplexes, so it's a combination of homes that are already happening.
But Wade points to recommended formation of a housing task force to ensure the need is met.
Bringing together a group of stakeholders that includes builders, developers, realtors, investors, lenders, everyone to have this conversation about what type of construction, what level of activity is happening.
Among other F-35 related changes covered in the plan is an expected 4,200 new jobs by 2022, two-thirds of which will be off base.
There's this opportunity to really train not only young people, but also some of our unemployed Fairbanks North Star Borough community members.
The plan recommends working with the University of Alaska Fairbanks and other education providers to prepare and certify workers. The plan also includes recommendations to address an increase in students that's anticipated to push the capacity of some area grammar and middle schools.
Maybe combining schools is an opportunity, combining some of the middle schools with the high schools that have more capacity. Anybody go to high school in a portable classroom or elementary school in a portable classroom?
Wade points to an expected increase in the number of students relative to the broader borough population that's forecast to strain the school budget after 2025. The plan also covers quality of life issues and meeting the expectations of people moving here from the lower 48.
Retail and shopping, it's got to be better, and also indoor recreation.
Wade says new commercial development may involve policy and zoning changes. She stresses the importance of borough residents helping to prioritize recommendations in the draft Eielson Regional Growth Plan, which is open for public comment through the end of July. I'm Dan Bross.